Welcome to worship on Sunday, the 29th of November. We are waiting in the dark of the year. We are waiting.
We are waiting for God to shape our lives.
We are waiting to see clearly what lies hidden in darkness.
We are waiting awake and alert, ready for God to come.
In the darkness, a candle is lit. The light comforts our waiting.
The light reminds us of the one who is to come.
Holy God, maker of every thought, open our hearts this day that we may know your presence in this time and place. Restore us so that we may know the calling that you have for each of us. Light our spirits with your eternal love. Shape us with your hands, that we may be vessels fit to receive your presence. We are waiting, Holy One. Help us be ready for your coming, when you will be among us and within us, with new creative healing energy. Amen. When the people of Israel returned to their homeland following the long years of captivity in Babylon, all is not well, and life is much more difficult than they had hoped. They feel that God is not with them. Without a sense of God's presence, they know the restoration of their city and their spiritual life is not yet complete. This lack of God's presence lies at the heart of Isaiah's cry in the first verse of today's reading from Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. While lamenting God's absence, the people have a sense of why God has abandoned them. Their treatment of the disadvantaged and powerless in their community is wanting. Injustice towards the poor has brought about their suffering, and because of this, God's continued absence is keenly felt. The prophet Isaiah tells us a lot about how God defines justice. In parts of the Bible, including here, the turning of the heart away from God in idolatry is one of the most serious of sins. But so too is the way individuals and communities treat the weaker members of society. How we treat the powerless, the weak, and the poor is something that provokes God to anger. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 64 and verses 1 to 9.
Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people.
Let us pray. You call us to wait, to watch, to be ready. But we are easily distracted, busily doing other things. We grow weary and become complacent. Give us wisdom as we prepare for your coming. Forgive our foolishness and our impatience. Restore us by your grace. Look upon us with your favour, that we might know your presence. Shape us into vessels of blessing, for we are your children, longing for the touch of your Spirit. Amen. Fear not, for our Creator is the loving maker of every thought and thing. We are the clay. Each of us is being formed by God's all-loving hand, crafted for a purpose and cherished as a vessel made for love. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, we are the people of God, forgiven, loved, and freed. Thank you.
brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in your suffering world, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace, sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cures for their ills, work for the craftsmen, trade for their skills, land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak, voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak.
Second reading is from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37.
But in those days, after that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or at dawn, if he comes suddenly. Do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
Today's reading from Mark chapter 13 is sometimes referred to as the Little Apocalypse. The style of this passage is like that recorded in the book of Revelation and some parts of the Old Testament. The message is told in word pictures. We are not meant to interpret these words in a literal way. In apocalyptic literature, the coming of God is displayed in vivid but elaborate cosmic images, and God's coming, whether to punish or to rescue, is no small event. When God comes, the heavens break their cycle of days and seasons, and the earth convulses. The farthest star, the smallest blade of grass, everything created is affected by the activity of the Creator. These are the events that are described in Mark chapter 13, and they include the end of the temple, the end of all things, and the coming of the Son of Man. It's likely that the original context of Mark 13 was the suffering during the years of violent response by the ruling Romans to the Judean revolt. The violence caused mass devastation, including the destruction of the temple in AD 70. This violent upheaval would have led to speculation that the end was near, and would have created a dilemma for some as to how or whether to be involved. Through this passage, there's the repeated call to beware, to keep alert, and to keep awake. One writer summarizes the context tense of Mark 13 as an exhortation to critical awareness. Be aware of the powers and forces that create havoc and destruction. Today we enter the season of Advent. Advent means coming. This passage from Mark's Gospel is about anticipation, and the Gospel writer encourages us to look forward to the end of suffering. He writes, "But in those days, after that suffering." The disciples are being instructed to wait and watch for the fall of the powers of darkness and devastation, and to anticipate a genuine transformation of the world. The old world order has come tumbling down, and a new world order is emerging. These are words of hope to people living through a crisis. Even the fig tree, cursed in chapter 11 of Mark's Gospel, is coming back to life and flourishing. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
Kingdom stay. hours of waiting through the night. Now let's to God belong. The stars declare the eternal right, and shame the creatures wrong.
Let us pray. Generous are you, most holy God, the origin and end of all things, seen and unseen.
Generous are you, who selected this planet Earth to be a place of beauty and fruitfulness.
Generous are you, who has brought forth from the earth tree and flower, bird and beast.
Generous are you, who long ago brought to life out of this earth's dust, woman and man.
Generous are you, who shaped us in your own likeness and made us your stewards on earth.
Most generous are you, who, when we became lost, prepared a Christ to bring us back home.
Most generous are you, who yourself drew intimately near to us from the cradle to the cross.
Most generous are you, who promise to come again to gather up all things in joy.
God of Advent, be pleased to receive the thanksgiving that rises from our hearts and minds, and by your Spirit help us to transpose it into a grateful and generous lifestyle, to your praise and glory. Not many of us, loving God, get through life without some pain and some sorrow. Help us to meet such hard times as a part of the mysterious tapestry of providence, and by the initiative of your grace, turn setbacks into growth and fruitfulness.
This which we pray for ourselves, we also pray for every other person on this planet, wherever there is disease and handicap, agony and grief. Grant to your children the ability not merely to cope, but to find some light, to triumph even through the bleakest day and darkest night. Holy One, enable us and all people of kindness and hope to challenge the greed, violence, injustice and neglect that so magnify the pain and sorrow of humanity. With Christ's word and way as our guide, assist us to play our part in the ongoing work of salvation, counting no person as too insignificant or no one as too evil to be outside your redeeming love.
Help your church, we pray, to mend its rifts and demolish its many walls of division, that together we may be able to testify by our own love for one another to a God who seeks to reconcile all things through grace, mercy, and peace, through Christ Jesus our Saviour. Amen.
Eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fatal lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hath sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the human heart before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him, be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make us holy, let us live that all be free, while God is marching on. He is coming like the glory of the morning on the wave. He is wisdom to the mighty, he is succor to the brave. So the world shall be his footstool, and the soul of time his slave. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.